Perhaps you have noticed in the bulletin that there is something on the inside regarding information to be given a little bit today about a door knocking effort in our area. Let me just tell you a little bit about that. We'll give you a little more information as we approach this. But on the first Saturday in October, which is October 5th, there is a effort among many of our brethren in the United States to work in the local community where the congregations are located. As you know, we mail out the house-to-house, heart-to-heart publication to about 2,000 boxes in the 35810 zip code. And 35810 is kind of our Jerusalem. This is where we are. This is our home, you might say, as far as the congregation is concerned, although we live in many other zip codes and areas of this part of Alabama. But there's an effort for particularly those who work with house-to-house, heart-to-heart, and mail that out, but it's not limited to them, to work at least for part of Saturday in our community and just getting out in the community and letting the people in the community know that we are here, that we are more than welcoming to them, that we want to study the Bible with them and meet any needs and pray for them, whatever it may be that we have within our capability of helping them on that particular day. We are looking at the routes that we specifically mail the house-to-house, heart-to-heart publication to in our zip code, and those are the ones that we particularly want to highlight. I don't know if it would be possible for us to knock all 2,000 houses or doors, you know, on that particular day, but we think that we could probably get at least many of them on that particular day. And so we don't have all the specifics ironed out yet, but if you will, think about the day, the morning especially, of October 5th, and plan on blocking out a little bit of your time that day. We're going to work in this community a little bit. And again, just let them know, because they received that publication. It's a very good way for those who are home for us to approach them and say, do you receive this in the mail? Well, we're from the church that mails that. We just want to let you know that we mail that out because we care for this community and we care for your soul. We hope it's a blessing to you. And how else can we be a blessing to you? And how else can we help you in your journey of faith and to study the Word of God? So that's certainly something that we want to be involved in and helping the people who live the very closest to our facility here. And once again, spreading the gospel in that way. You may also notice on the back side of your bulletin that there is a series of blanks there, because these are connected to the lesson this morning. Because we're going to look at a lesson, I'm calling it 8 pieces of the wise pie, because most pieces of pie have most pies that can be cut into 8 pieces. And as I was putting together some material for this, it came out to be 8, and I thought, well, that's sort of like a pie, so we're going to call it the wise pie today. And we're going to look at 8 pieces of that from the book of Proverbs, because last Sunday morning, you may recall, we looked at what the Bible says and how it helps us answer the question, what is wisdom? And certainly we all want to be working toward that goal of answering that question and finding the biblical answer to the question, what is wisdom? And then applying that to our own lives. Well, from the book of Proverbs, we're going to see that there are about 8 things that wise people do. And you could substantially add to this list. It could be much longer than just these 8. But for the sake of this morning, that's what we want to do. And think about how we can expand from last Sunday morning, finding out the biblical answer to what wisdom is. Now, how does that work out on a practical level in my life from day to day? What is it that a wise person, if I'm trying to be wise and have the wisdom of God, what is it that a wise person does? Let me give you just a little preview, too, for next Sunday, because we spent last Sunday and today talking about wisdom. Well, we're going to flip side that, and next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're going to look at some characteristics, especially from the book of Proverbs, about the opposite of that. You know, how does the book of Proverbs define the fool, the simple, the scorner? How does the Bible define those people, that
characteristic or those characteristics that sometimes are found in our society and fortunately sometimes even among us. And how can we avoid? These are the things today that we want to seek out and find and put in our heart. Well, next Sunday, we'll look at the opposite of that. What are the things we want to avoid and not be guilty of and to run away from?
As we think about this, of course, we'll look at several passages today from the book of Proverbs, but we want to begin actually with a text that is all the way over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, as the apostle Paul is writing to his young friend and preacher Timothy, he reminds him about some great things that Timothy has to build upon regarding his faith. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, he gives these words, "But you must continue in the things you have learned." And we'll see a little bit of that today as we analyze these characteristics of the wise person. "But you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing them and from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures," and that's what we're going to study today, "from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures," what? "Which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And so as we think about wisdom today, we think about what the wise person does and how the wise person behaves and what the wise person believes, the basis for that is all tied to what the Bible says here is Scripture. The Scriptures are the tool that are able to make us wise, ultimately, unto salvation. Now, as we begin to analyze from our text, what are some things that wise people do? Well, number one, if you want to, you know, write that down on the back of the bulletin, make it a little easy perhaps for you to make some notes about this. But number one, wise people fear the Lord. This is somewhat of a little bit of what we talked about last week in defining wisdom. The classic definition, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And so wise people fear the Lord. And as we've said previously, the fear that is used here is not the fear that you have because you have disobeyed God. It's the reverence and the respect that you have because you're trying to learn God's will. And you want to faithfully follow God. Yes, there is a fear that ought to be also a healthy fear of God when we disobey and we transgress and we sin. There is that kind of fear because the Bible tells us our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews chapter 12, and we understand that He is the great and ultimate judge. But at the same time, there should be the fear that is a godly fear, a holy fear, a reverence and respect for Him that encourages us not to quiver and run out of great, you know, trepidation in being in His presence, but the respect and love that we have for this great God who loves us, and that we revere and reverence Him when we worship. And when you have that kind of fear of God, that kind of respect and reverence, then you'll keep your priorities straight. You know, the other kind of fear of God, because we're afraid of Him, of punishment, and what He might do to us if we sin, in some limited way that might help us to keep our priorities straight, because we'll know, oh, if I do that, God's, you know, going to zap me. And so I better not do that. And while that might, to some degree, keep us out of trouble and out of sin, there's a much more positive approach to that. And that's when we say, this is what God has said for me to do. And because I know God loves me and God only has my best interest at His heart because He created me, then that's what I'm going to do. And that keeps your priorities straight, not from a negative standpoint of I'm afraid of God because He's going to zap me, but it keeps my priorities straight because I love God and I want to serve Him. Wise people fear the Lord like that. Number two, as we think about this, wise people listen to wise instruction. wise people listen to wise instruction. That's what we saw just a moment ago in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. You know, you remember the things that you have heard and who you heard them from and you've been assured of them. And that all of this is able to make you wise into salvation. Well, when we look at the book of Proverbs, the second piece of the wise pie, then we see that wise people listen not just to anything, but wise people listen to wise instruction. If you would, look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Proverbs 22. We're going to begin reading at verse 17. Proverbs 22, verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who stand in you. Those verses that we read, Proverbs 22, 17 through 21, nearly every word, nearly every phrase is one that we could break down and we could dig into to learn that wise people listen to wise instruction. And that wise people listen to wise things. You can approach that from a positive and a negative. On the negative side, we have to understand that we don't waste our time listening to foolishness. And we don't waste our time listening to deceptive, lying words. And our society is full of that. But because we're trying to be wise, we're trying to learn the knowledge and the instruction that God would have us to learn, then we don't waste our time on the negative standpoint of listening to those kind of things. You know, because when we become wise in our own eyes, we certainly are no longer wise in the eyes of God. But on a positive standpoint, we listen to wise instruction, which means ultimately that we are going to spend our time reading and studying the Word of God. And that we productively make the best use of our time that we can to read and to study all that we can God's Word. And not only are we reading and studying, I mean, it's important to read about the Bible. It's important to look at various things that help us understand the Bible in a better way. But how much time are we really spending in the Bible? And are we reading and studying the Word of God? Because wise people listen to wise instruction. And the Word of God is the wisest instruction that you'll ever find. And so we spend our time reading and studying that and making the best use of that we possibly can. And really, that kind of leads us to a third area that we want to think about as we think about a third piece of the wise pie today. And that is, number three, wise people apply what they've learned. Number two, they listen to the instruction, but it doesn't just end there. There are certain things you don't listen to, there are certain things you listen to, but it doesn't just end there at the listening. Number three, wise people apply what they have learned. When you look at Proverbs 10, verse 14, Proverbs 10, 14 says, wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Wise people store up knowledge. Now, we have great opportunities to read and study the Word of God. You have great opportunities to further enhance your
religious education, your Bible education through our Bible school program for, all ages that we have here on Sunday and Wednesday. But we even have greater resources to further learn and build our Bible knowledge and our understanding of the Word of God by reading and studying many great books that are written that help us better interpret and understand the Word of God. Because of the technological revolution that we've experienced over the last several years, you can go online and you can find all kinds of Bible instruction there. And we can find so many New Testament gospel preachers who you can find their sermons online. You can find so many wonderful ways to learn and study the Word of God. The Bible is, and the gospel is being able to find its way into places where it's been very difficult and almost impossible to take it many years prior to this. And wise people are listening to the wise instruction of God. But not only should we listen, we should also apply what we've learned. We have all these great opportunities, but now let's apply what we learn. It's a shame. It's really a shame to learn something. What do we say? Proverbs 10:14 says that wise people store up knowledge. It's really a shame to learn something and then forget it. And you know, that's frustrating sometimes. And yet, we find ourselves often, unwisely, wasting the gains we've made with Scripture. And because we fail to apply what we've heard, we fail to apply what we've learned, eventually it drifts away. And it fades away. So wise people, they store up that knowledge. We make use of what we've heard. We make use of what we learned. It's not just that we hear it and let it go in one ear and out the other, but we make use of that. And we're not trying to waste the gains, the great opportunities that we've had by sermons and Bible classes, whether it be in person like today, whether it be something we read in a book, something we see on the internet that helps us, but we make wise use and application of all those things that we gain. Well, let's move on from this point and look at number four. Here's something else that wise people do. Wise people, number four, associate with wise people. Wise people associate with wise people. And you're going to see how all these eight things we're discussing today, they build on one another. They work together as a cohesive unit to make us wise as God would have us to be wise. And in addition to listening to the Word of God, we also need to spend some time productively with other wise people. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." So you want to become wise? Well, walk with wise people. Find wise people and learn from them. Start with the Bible. You find so many instances in the Scriptures of wisdom. Spend time with these men and women in the Bible who are so very wise. None of them are perfect, except Jesus. None of them are sinless. But spend time with those wise people in the Word of God and learn from them. But more than that as well, those wise people in this congregation, those wise people in other circles of Christianity that you're connected with, spend time with them. We know that the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that evil companions do what? They corrupt good morals. They drag us down. They pull us down. It's a negative. But on the positive side, the wise man who spends time with wise people becomes wiser because he's learning. So wise people spend time with other wise people. Yes, those wise people in the Scriptures, but those wise people that are sitting next to us right now Those wise people in our families, those wise people in the broader circle of Christianity besides just this congregation, in other places where the New Testament church is, and other New Testament Christians that we know, who we regard as wise. And we learn from them. You know, we learn from the mistakes of others, don't we? Well, why not learn from the wisdom of others? Wise people spend time with wise people.
Number five, as we break down our list here, number five, what else do wise people do? Wise people flee or run from sin. Wise people run from sin. And you see how this is kind of building on itself? You spend your time in the Word of God. You spend your time with wise people. And then the opportunity to sin presents itself, as it always does. Well, because you have shored yourself up and you have strengthened yourself with the Word of God and with wise associations, it becomes easier to run from sin. That doesn't mean we won't give in occasionally, but it becomes, we have a greater motivation to run from sin because we've got the Word of God on our side and because we've got our wise friends on our side. And then sin presents itself and temptation presents itself. Proverbs 14, verse 16. Proverbs 14, verse 16. A wise man fears and departs from evil. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. So the fool is wise in his own eyes, which makes him very unwise in the eyes of God. He's self-confident. He rages. But the wise man fears and he flees. He departs from evil. The self-confident person is not very wise. Joshua, in the book of Joshua chapter 7, was very unwise about a battle. He was wise in his own eyes, but he was very unwise in the eyes of God. Consequently, he lost. Peter was very wise in his own eyes, but very unwise in the eyes of God. He had a great deal of self-confidence, like Joshua did, in himself, and he ended up denying the Lord three times. We also know that Samson was very self-confident, but he ended up in a terrible situation. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 tells us, let he who has confidence take heed. Why? Lest he fall. And so we have to learn that when it comes to sin, we have done the work by listening wisely to the Word of God, by having wise associations, but we can't become so self-confident to think that we're invincible and that we'll never give in or never be vulnerable to any temptation, because we will be. And let's not be like Joshua or Moses or Peter or others that we can give examples of, and too self-confident, overly self-confident. That's not wise. Instead, when we're confronted with temptation, we're confronted with sin, let's be like Joseph. Genesis 38, Joseph was confronted with sin, and what did he do? He ran. I mean, he got out of there. I read a story that sort of serves as a little bit of an illustration of this, that there was a young man who was single at a particular congregation, and he was rather dashingly handsome, like I used to be. But he was being pursued by several single attractive ladies, and so one of the older, wiser men of the congregation said, "You know, you need to be careful because you got a good thing going here, and you know, I don't think you've done anything wrong yet, but you just need to be careful." And the young man, a little bit arrogantly, responded back and says, "Well, there's strength in numbers." And the older, wiser man said, "Yeah, but sometimes there's more strength in Exodus. Get out. Flee. Run." Wise people run from sin. Let's move on as we break this down and think about number six. Number six, wise people watch their words. Wise people watch their words. Proverbs 16, verse 23, in the New International Version, Proverbs 16, verse 23 reads this way. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. You see, wise people watch their words. Wise people don't just say anything and everything. We also read in Proverbs 10, verse 19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. You speak when you need to speak, and when you can be a blessing and a help to others, but you don't have to say everything about everything. That's unwise. One of my favorite verses in Proverbs, it's probably one of my top five favorite verses in the book. And I think about it to make personal application often, is the very last verse of Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his lips. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. See, even the fool, when he keeps his mouth shut, is thought of as wise. Sometimes I've had to learn that the very hard way. So wise people watch their words. Number seven, wise people work diligently. See, all of this kind of building, you know, we have the Word of God. Wise people listen to and apply the Word of God. We have wise association and wise friends. That helps us avoid unwise decisions that when temptation faces us and then we give in to sin. And then after that, we also are living the lifestyle of conduct through our words and our behavior. I think it was Brother Howard South that used to talk about the Christian's word and the Christian's way and the Christian's walk. And so we're talking about our way and our words and our walk. And it's about how we talk and what we say, but it's also about how we work. Proverbs 10, verse 4. Proverbs 10, verse 4. Lazy hands make a poor man. Lazy hands make a poor man, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in the summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. When you read through the book of Proverbs particularly, you will learn that God has absolutely nothing good to say about lazy people. God has nothing positive to say about lazy, shiftless, careless people. Wise people make application and diligently work. It's not just a show. It's not just about the talk. It's also about the walk. But number eight on our list, as we think about these eight pieces, eighth and final this morning, wise people seek to generate more wise people. Wise people, because of the great blessing they know that wisdom can be to any and all, wise people seek to fill the world with more wise people. In other words, it's stated perhaps a little more effectively in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. In Proverbs 11, verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Wise people are seeking to bring more wise people into the world. The word that is used in Proverbs 11, verse 30 for wins, W-I-N-S, is a word that could be translated to capture. In other words, it's kind of like a hunter who's seeking down his game or his prey, and he captures it. The wise person seeks to capture the disobedient, the unfaithful,
the unwise and make them obedient, faithful, and wise through the instruction they find in the Word of God. This is very similar, by the way, to what Jesus says when He tells us that He will make us what? Fishers of men. He wants us to find those who are lost and help them become saved. The Son of Man, Luke 19:10, came to seek and to save that which is lost. That is now our mission. We once were lost. He sought us and He saved us. Now we in turn reciprocate to the lost that we find. Wise people, he who wins souls is wise. Wise people are seeking to generate and create more wise people. Because you remember where we started in 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15? From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to do what? Make you wise unto salvation. And so when you put all of that together and you begin to look at the whole package, you'll see that, and at the bottom of the page on the back of the bulletin, you see God's wisdom, and there are three blanks there. You'll see that God's wisdom really does three things. Number one, it protects. Number two, it directs. And number three, it perfects. Because through the Scriptures, we're protected, we're directed, and we're perfected. Because we have been able to be made what? Wise unto salvation. I hope in what you have read and studied in the Bible, and even what you've heard today, has helped make each and every one of us a little wiser unto salvation. But if you've not obeyed the gospel, would you do the wise thing and turn from your sin and confess Jesus as the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism and added to His kingdom, the church, and walk wisely with Him from this day forward? Be wise. Obey the gospel. Would you come as we stand and we sing this morning?